Well, brother and sister, I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. This is Johan van der Werven speaking, and today we are continuing with part 6 of the Sons of Sovereignty Origin module, and we begin with the chapter called Predestination. That's the heading I'm looking at here, and it should be around about page 66 in your module. And it begins as follows: according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, our place of origin cannot be traced back to this earth, nor to a specific point in time. Our place of origin is within God himself and predates time and the very existence of the earth as we know it. Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 5. The Message Bible reads as follows: long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What a pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Another translation reads, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." Predestination is a wonderful thing. It is filled with wonder and full of promise. And the word predestination simply means that something had been predetermined before it came to be. So what does this actually mean? What it means is that you existed in your completeness with God before you were born on earth. Secondly, it means that you were completed and perfected by God as a work of his love. Now you'll remember that our focus and our emphasis in this specific course is to lay the foundation and to focus our attention on our source of origin. This is very, very important, because if you don't understand what Jesus came to do and why he came to save or redeem you, you'll simply be saved from hell. That will be more or less what you would know in your experience. This is what would be settled in your mind, that you were a human on earth, and by the grace of God now, you were saved and you were adopted in his family. See, when Paul speaks about this adoption in the Spirit, he's really not talking about somebody that's been a stranger in the natural sense of adoption, where we were strangers and then God adopted us into his family, because that sounds like we were just human beings on earth and God somehow chose to adopt us into a spiritual family. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that through a process of redemption, God readopted us or brought us back into our original state of being. In other words, we became as orphans. Remember what happened with that prodigal son? He became as one dead to his father because of the separation, because he was no longer home to his father. He was a foreigner. He was a foreign son. He was as one that had died. And that's exactly what happened to us with the fall of Adam. We became destitute sons. Now, what Paul is saying is through Jesus Christ, God readopted us or made a way to reinstate us to our original sonship. He came to find us in our lost state of being, as sons deprived, as ones that had died to our original purpose. And now, through the grace and through the love of Jesus, giving himself as that offering, giving himself as the one, the door through whom redemption could come, the Father could come and readopt us, bring us back into our original state of being, adopt us from that place of being destitute to be reinstated as the true, authentic sons of his kingdom. And that would be like adopting us, because we were no longer sons, although we were in our authenticity, we had lost that glory, and now he's adopted us back to be reformed, renewed by the Spirit of God, renewed in our inner man, to be changed into the glorious likeness of his being, so that we may become who he originally designed us to be, as sons formed and made in his image and in his likeness. That is our purpose with this wonderful journey that we are on and this course that we are busy with, because a lot of people are saved, but they don't know what they are saved from. They don't understand salvation as being redeemed or restored. They see it as a brand new experience. They see it as something happening to them that, you know, is new and fresh. It's a new life they're entering. You know what? That new life is actually your life of origin. It's actually being reintroduced into that authentic state of being, that authentic life God has always intended for you to live, that got lost in Adam. And now Paul comes and he says, listen, I want you by the Spirit to understand something. I want you to understand that your origin is from God and out of God. It is not from the earth. You did not begin your existence on earth. You were born on earth from an eternal place of predestination. God had already completed you long before you were born. You were with him long before you ever came to be on this earth. And he says, I want you to understand that what he planned for you and what he purposed for you and what you were meant to experience on this earth was planned and purposed in his love. In other words, you came forth out of love to walk in love, so you may experience love, and so that you may become love in creation. Love in full expression. And then he addresses something else. He says, before the creation of the world, you were predestined in that love to be holy and blameless in his sight. And you know, when we speak of holiness, we spiritualize the word, and it becomes something where we imagine somebody walking around in white robes and just being absolutely sinless and perfect before God. But here is the thing with holiness. If you go study the word, you'll find out that the root of holiness is the word wholeness, or completeness, or being completely whole in your whole being. In other words, being healed, healthy, and whole in the totality of your being. That means spiritually whole, emotionally whole, and physically whole. being a complete person, the way God originally thought you up, dreamed you to be, and formed and made you to be, whole, without any holes in you, whole and complete, without any hurts, without anything lacking from you, that absolutely perfect person. And then you'll remember that I spoke to you a while ago and I said that I wanted to speak to you more about what Jesus meant when he said, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Because that word perfect speaks of coming into maturity, or being the whole person that God created you to be in his image and in his likeness. Jesus is saying, you and I need to mature or grow into the wholeness or the completeness of who our Father created us and formed us to be. And that wholeness and completeness is to be complete in his love, completely restored, completely renewed and remade anew into the full image and likeness of who he is. This is God's purpose for you and I, to understand that he formed us not to lack anything. He formed us to be complete. He formed us as a wonder of his presence being made manifest upon the earth. So what does this actually mean? What it means is that you existed in your completeness with God before you were born on earth. Secondly, it means that you were completed and perfected by God as a work of his love. Thirdly, it means that God had chosen you to be a very specific and unique individual whom he made for a specific reason, to serve a specific purpose on earth that he fully equipped you for, with everything you would need to be you. Being you includes being the reason why you are here. You are only truly you when you live as you were designed and become who you were envisioned to be. So when you live as your purpose, fulfilling your destiny, you are the you that God had in mind when he formed you. Now, again, let me just stop here for a second and just expand on this thought. You see, being you means being fully fulfilled as an individual living on this earth. It's not so much that God wants you to complete a task, or that God has made you for his pleasure and to serve his purpose and to do what he made you to do. And if you don't do that, you're a failure. That's not the idea. The idea is to find and discover who you were made to be. Because if you find and discover that, you're going to discover the pleasure of your Father in forming you. You're going to discover the joy that he had predestined for you to enjoy in every area of your life. You're going to live so full because you're going to outlive that expression. You're going to radiate and express who you truly are. All of the gifts and the wonderful talents is going to flow from you, and it's going to bring you into ecstasy, into joy, into happiness, into living a full life. And as you blossom, your Father is going to have glory from your life because you've become everything he predestined you to be. You become that mature, unfolding rose, full of the aroma and the glory and the beauty and the majesty that you were designed to be, People will come and they will celebrate who you are. They will look at you and it will stimulate them. What you carry will be a blessing to them, a sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit. That is the idea in finding your purpose and your destiny. It's not about punishment. It's not about missing the mark. It's not about dying and then one day standing guilty before God. It's a question of God wanting you to live your life in the fullness of what He designed it for you to be, and to become that person that blossoms, fragrant with the love, fragrant with the peace, the joy, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit given expression through you. It's really about you living a full life. In the process of being this true you, you will experience absolute fulfillment during your time on earth. There are five key principles you have to receive from this revelation of the Holy Spirit that came through Paul. Number one, predestination. We pre-existed with the Father long before we ever drew a breath of life on earth. He dreamed us in Himself and dreamed our lives long before we would ever have an earthly address captured in a human body on this planet. The life that He predestined for you is a life that He planned and purposed in His heart. Your life would be a divine gift and a blessing to those who would encounter you on earth. Now, I cannot imagine a more wonderful life that anyone could live than to be a blessing to others. Because you cannot be a blessing to others without being blessed yourself. It is out of the overflow of God's blessing in your own life that you become a blessing to others. As I noted before, what is even more wonderful about this life that God has predestined for you is that you were fully prepared to live it. You came equipped with a deposit of God's potential in you to be able to live the life that He dreamed for you. God has a plan for your life. You don't have to find your own one. He predestines us. That means that you arrived on earth with His plan for you already built into you. People look for a plan all their lives. They look everywhere except where the plan is to be found, inside themselves. God's plan for you is not what you need to find to do in the world. You are His plan. His plan is not for you to find something to do in the world, but to be someone on earth. When you find out who you are, you will become who He made you to be, and you will become the unveiling of that plan you were created to be and to see unfold on earth. God has something He made you to be. He does not want you to look for something to do that will give you another definition to who you truly are. Let me again just stop here and just note that the core of what's being said here is simply that whatever God designed you to be, He's already positioned within you. And you, in the full capacity of your being, is that plan. So you don't have to look for a plan and wonder, what can I find to do in life that will be well-pleasing to God? You need to learn to simply be. You need to learn to live from within your inner being. That's where the secret of your life is found. That's where the treasure that God deposited in you abides. It's within your inner man. It's within your inner being. And that is where you need to look into to find the answer, to find the life, the key to living a full life. So Your purpose and your destiny is locked into your relationship and your walk with God, because as you begin looking into yourself, into your inner being, into His presence inside of you, you are going to find the life that He predestined for you unfolding from you, from that beautiful place of living in harmony with Him. It is to learn to simply be. It is to realize that there is a vault filled with heavenly treasure, filled with tremendous potential, that as you allow that to unfold in and through your life, it will set your life on the course that God predestined for you. You see, the greatest secret that you can discover is that you don't need to follow the world's way in order to live your life and in order for you to become all that God predestined you to be. You need to be led of the Spirit. You need to walk on water. You need to put your entire life in God's hands and say, show me the way that you called and destined me to go. And then you need to follow along that way, wherever it may lead you and whatever it may determine for you to do. You need to do everything He tells you to do. Just like the mother of Jesus told them at that wedding where He performed the first miracle, and she said, do whatever He tells you to do. That is exactly what needs to become the keynote of your life. Do exactly what He tells you to do. Don't do more and don't do less, but find His voice in you and follow Him and allow Him to unfold that life in you. Think of somebody like Joseph. What chances did he ever have to lead a nation like Egypt? What was the chance that this little Hebrew boy, despised of his brothers, growing up in some distant foreign land with his father, considered to be spoiled and to be the favorite in the family, what chances did he ever have to lead a nation like Egypt? And then looking at the processes that unfolded, my goodness me, he landed up being sold into slavery. He ended up serving as a servant in the house of somebody living in a foreign land. Then he ends up in jail. What was the chances of this boy ever leading a nation like Egypt? And yet, in God's plan, Joseph needed every one of those things. He needed a pit. He needed slavery. He needed jail to promote him to come to the place where he would lead Egypt. In the world, he would have needed a certificate. He would have needed a university. He would have needed the finest education. And he would have needed the experience to even be able to serve in the government of a Pharaoh. And yet God comes and He uses a pit, and He uses slavery, and He uses a prison to promote Joseph to the place where Pharaoh entrusted the whole nation's welfare into his hands. Can you see that if you allow the plan of God locked into your inner being and into your inner man to unfold, you do not need anything the world needs to advance. But if you will allow the supernatural plan of God to unfold in your life, He will lead you and He will promote you to come to the place where others have worked their entire life to try and achieve. And He'll come and He'll position you exactly where He predestined you to be. The secret is to live from the inside out. The secret is to be and to allow God to unfold your being, who you are. to be that every day and to say, Lord, here I am. I am being. I am being who you made me to be. Unfold my being in this world. In practical terms, God created you as a destiny to come true that would influence the earth. If you go and look for something to do and become a plumber, for instance, you take on an identity that may be indifferent to who you were made to be and what you were formed to do. So don't just become a plumber because people expect you to have a job. Find out who you are, why you are here, and what you were designed to do, and do that with all your will and your heart. Number 3, love planned your future. In love, he predestined us. That means that everything God planned for our lives was planned in his love. He purposed us to live a life filled with everything that is good, noble, just, pure, and lovely. He planned his best for your life. The only way to miss his love plan for you is to detour from it. When we step out of his plan and fail to be led into what he destined for our lives, we end up living what he never intended for us to experience. Once again, let me point you to the prodigal and show you the same pattern unfolding. It was when he detoured from his father's plan, when he started living indifferently, when he lost his way, that's when he came into experiencing what his father never intended for him to know. Number 4, the fall was never a part of the plan for your life. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That means that sin, with all its added sorrows, is something that was never intended or planned for your life. It also means that sin is not a part of your original makeup, which in turn means that sin is an invader and therefore is something that has attached itself. In your authentic design, sin never existed. You remember that some time ago I told you. You will remember that I told you that sin means missing the mark. It's got to do with the way you live. And that's what makes this course so important, because what this course is doing is calling you to a higher frequency of life. It is explaining to you where you come from. It is calling you to walk in the realm of your origin, to come back to the place where you understand that you are spirit and that you are life, that you are a spiritual being. You live in a human body, yes, and you do live on an earth captured in time. And you do live in a natural environment, yes, but you are not natural. Your origin is supernatural. You are spirit. You are life. You are from a place and from a dimension far beyond the natural realm that you currently live in. And God is calling you to live in the spirit, to walk in the spirit. He wants to awaken you to live in that higher realm as his son upon this earth, to dominate, to walk in total sovereignty and in dominion upon this earth, to take out of the spirit what he gives you and to establish it upon this earth. You are not a victim. You are a victor. You are here to dominate. You are here to rule, to reign. You are his kingdom upon this earth. And as that son and daughter of the Spirit, he wants you to understand that nothing can dominate you. And he doesn't want you to live in a place where your understanding has been captured and where it is being dwarfed and where you can't clearly see the victory. He wants you to know who you truly are and where you truly come from, and to live from that place and that space in this earth, and to understand that nothing can dominate you, that nothing has to stay attached to your life, but that you've got the power and the authority to release everything from your life that is not a part of your original design in Him. Sin and everything that comes with it is the direct result of having been separated from God's glory. The fruit of that separation is reaped in heartache, suffering, and hardships on earth. That is the reason why the world is the way it is. It lacks God's presence. Can you see why it is so important then to understand that God has saved you to become His presence on earth, to become His glory, to establish His kingdom in and through you? Because all of this has been reversed in you. All of this separation and everything that came as a part of that separation has been redeemed through Jesus Christ and has been restored in you. He has reconciled you with your Father and redeemed you to your origin. The notion that you are just a poor sinner saved by grace is a lie and a false deception. It is a false identity that has been presented to you with a hope that you will take the bait and see yourself from the perspective of being weak and helpless, where God has called you to be a king reigning in the earth, to be a son of the Spirit. The reality is that you were designed to be a holy, whole, complete. It is not something you have to try or work at to achieve. It is something you simply have to come to be. You have to look into yourself, not around you, not at the mistakes that you're making, not at the failures, not at the things that you're trying to battle with and overcome. You need to look inside of you and find your true identity, your true origin, who you are, and understand that Jesus Christ came to pay the price to redeem you back to your original position, to your original state of being. You're a son, you are whole and complete, and now the renewing of the mind begins. And as you allow God to restore your thinking, to restore your understanding, you're going to find out that it's going to work out in the natural, because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As he understands, so he will be. As he believes, so he will live, and so he will act. And so God wants to renew that inner man, to live after the Spirit, to see after the Spirit, to understand after the Spirit, and to come into that spiritual awakening of understanding the true identity of who you truly are. Therefore, everything unholy is out of place and should be disqualified by you from your life. The same is true for people who believe that they should suffer and that it is so hard and troublesome to serve God. The fact is that that is what religious teaching will teach you. And it is religious teaching that makes it hard and that programs your mindset in a way that you have to help God to save you. To be religiously saved is hard. To be authentically set free is easy. Luke 11:46, Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." Matthew 11:28-30 reads as follows, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You need to step into your true identity as a son of God. You are who He made you to be. Sin has no power over you. And the only way it can exercise power over you is when you allow it and give it permission to dominate you. The earth was never created for suffering, and neither were anything on it created to know a hardship, especially not man. God created man to live in His paradise. So here is the fact of life. No matter what you were taught or have come to accept, God is not the author of suffering. It will never be His pleasure for any of His children to suffer. He created you for a life filled with joy and overflowing with blessing. That is why our blessed Jesus is such a wonder of love. He took our lashings and pain upon Himself so we may be free to walk in freedom and to live in joy. To the measure of your acceptance or denial of this truth, you will live and experience the reality thereof. Once again, as you believe, as you accept, as you settle it in your heart for yourself and for your life, so it will be for you. And that's why it's so important that we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind, to renew our understanding, to renew our beliefs, to renew our heart. Why? Because according to your faith, so will it be for you. You need to allow God to change religious concepts and mindsets and to reconcile you, rejoin you, reunion you with His wholeness that He predestined you to experience in your life. Number 5, you are here, but you are not from here. Earth is your destination, but heaven prepared and equipped you to accomplish a mission at this specific destination. Before you were born as a baby, you were already alive as a complete eternal son. Eternity lent you to earth for a limited time to accomplish a unique purpose before you would return to your origin. That unique purpose is being you. It's being the full, formed, created individual that you are, blooming in the maturity of what God made you to be, so that He may receive the glory from your life. John 17 verse 5, Jesus states the following, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus came so that the Holy Spirit may find all God's lost sons, so they, as He, would also be able to return to the glory they knew and had with Him before the world began. Reference Hebrews 2 verse 10. So you are a stranger in the earth, an alien to this natural world, who's been sent to accomplish a task while you journey through time and space. And we've already determined that that task is being who God formed you to be. 1 Peter 2 verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Hebrews 11 verse 13, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth." 2 Corinthians 5:17, One of the most beloved scriptures to quote speaks of us as being new creations in Christ Jesus. The term literally indicates becoming a new species on the earth. Why? Because in Christ we are redeemed to our original state of being, sons of God, God-men and God-women, the offspring of God in the earth, eternal in being. You see, this is the beauty of it. And I don't want to press into this right now too deeply, because this is something that needs time to be told. But that being that you look into is the eternal being. It is the being that came from God. It is the being that has been captured in time and space here for a moment on earth. The being that's being lent to this earth to glorify God and to produce the glory of God in this earth, in whatever He called you to be and whatever He destined you to do. And then that being continues on back to eternity, is raptured back to be the eternal you that will always be. Oh, glory to God. What Jesus came to redeem is the time on earth. He came to make it possible for God's plan for you to unfold on earth. If He didn't come, you would still be that eternal being, but you would never be able to be that eternal being on earth. It will all be dead because you're captured into a natural body, in a natural state of mind, veiled from your origin, veiled from your purpose, unable to see, unable to connect with that eternal source that you came from. And Jesus came and became the door and said, step through me. Let me reconnect you with your origin. Let me open your eyes. Let me cause the veil to come off from your eyes, the scales to fall, so that you can clearly see who you are, where you are from, and why you are here, so you may live your life and be the glory and be the purpose of God unfolded in the earth before you leave this place and captured back into eternity. He redeemed our time on earth. This challenges us to look at our lives from God's perspective and to understand that we are truly sons on earth, sent here not to exist or to make a living or to find a plan for our lives, but to find ourselves in Him and to be His plan in this world. Sons who are not limited to time and space. You see, if you live in the natural realm, if you live as a human, then you are bound. You are bound by circumstances. You are bound by space. You are bound to whatever the world is going through. You are bound because you're a part of humanity. But if you live from the Spirit, you live unlimited. But you simply pass through time and space, not limited by the temporal, and unable to die, having eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Living in an eternal place on earth, knowing that you're just passing through, knowing that time will come when your limited time on earth will end and you'll be recaptured. You will be set free from this limited place and all of the limitations that held you and could hold you. And you would be set free from this limited environment to come back into the unlimited eternal glory of who God made you to be. Isn't that just wonderful? You're not here forever. You were just sent here, and the time of release will come when you will be completely set free. Oh my God, how wonderful. It's from this perspective that this module is written as a guide to awaken you to who you truly are. And what happens when you are born by the Spirit to re-enter your life in the realm of the eternal realm of the Spirit, your true place of origin. Your papa and your mama is not the source of your origin. They merely facilitated your birth so you could be received at your earthly destination. God is the true source of your origin. Most of us, though, have forgotten this fact because we are born veiled by a system that occupies and takes control over God's earth with the sole purpose to confuse it and to prevent His predestined sons from being able to fulfill their purpose at their earthly destination. Satan immediately begins to lead them on a journey to forget who they are and where they came from. He distracts them from the moment they arrive and uses everything at his disposal to make them forget why they are here, where they came from, and what they came to accomplish. He does this from the moment they open their eyes and attempt to keep them veiled for the rest of their natural born lives. Romans 3 verse 23 tells us that we were all born under a cloud of sin that has separated us from the glory of God. Jesus, however, was different. He was not born from the place of separation that we had to endure. We were born from Adam's seed. So when he fell, we all fell from God's glory. When Adam was lost, we were all lost. Jesus, however, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born from Mary, but conceived by God. He arrived at his place of destiny, knowing exactly why he was here and what was going on. When his mother disciplined him for not reporting home like the other boys did, he set her straight. He knew who his father was and why he was here. Luke 2 verse 49 records the following. Why do you look for me? Why are you concerned for me as though you are my reason for being on earth? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? Quite a statement for a 12-year-old boy. He was placed in Mary's care as a child, but she had received more than a child. She had given birth to who was conceived in her by God as his son. In every child there lives a son who has been predestined and conceived by God. Romans 8:29 states, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What we want to find out is what God had in his heart when he formed us, how he formed us, and what we were like in him before we were born into this broken world. Principle: who and what God has dreamed us to be before Adam fell never changed. It is still as relevant for us today as it was at the beginning. The question, however, is whether we will come to discover who we truly are and who God knows us to be. His dream has no expiry date and no end. Patiently awaits us for as long as we are on this earth. Subtitle: In His Image, In His Likeness. When God formed Adam, he sculpted perfection. There was absolutely nothing imperfect about Adam. Adam was as God himself was. That is the way God chose it to be, and that is how it was. He formed him in his own image and likeness. This is amazing news for you and me. We're perfect, baby. We just have to get our natural mind to yield and to accept it. God never builds rejects. He has come to claim us as his own. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I like how this fact is stated twice. God wants us to know that there is nothing that he left out of himself when he formed mankind. Although fashioned in clay, they were born out of him. He breathed more than air into them. He breathed His Spirit in them, His breath of life. And they became the splitting image and likeness of God Himself. They were as He was in every respect. The only difference between them was that God was God and they were sons of God. Other than that, they were the splitting image of their Father. This is how God formed and envisioned man, a God species. Sons born from His Spirit, sons of glory, sons of a sovereign kind. This is also how God envisioned you and I, who would be the offspring of Adam and Eve, when He commanded them to go and multiply the seed that had been given life in them, the dream seeds of the Father, His predestined sons of glory, with whom He wanted to fill the whole earth. Now, I want to add to this that the prophet tells us that God still recollects this original plan. Although Adam failed, God's plan never failed. See, the prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory, as the waters cover the sea." That glory that God speaks of there is His sons being made manifest on earth. It is the restoration of His glory in these sons that He originally destined to fill the earth. Those perfect ones that were meant to be born through Adam, that would cover the whole earth, that would be multiplied in the earth, would now be restored through Jesus Christ into their original place, their original state of being, their original glory. And they would start filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. Principle: when God created the first man, Adam, you and I already existed in Him, in God, that is. He had already dreamed us and predestined our lives. That means that you would be born with a destiny set in place that you had been pre-designed to bring forth. And everything that would be needed for you to accomplish that destiny had already been formed in you. You are equipped to produce the glory of God in the earth. You were born rich. There are two ways in which we become the expression of God's glory in the earth. First is in expressing His person by the influence of His character, His nature, and His personality being expressed through us. That is called union with the Holy Spirit, or oneness with the Holy Spirit. We will speak about that in coming chapters in this module. The second is in fulfilling our unique and individual destiny in the earth, or to say it differently, to be who He had formed and dreamed us to become. When you look at Jesus, our example, as the first Son of God to be born in the earth, you see Him both being the radiant expression of the Father, as well as doing the works for which the Father had sent Him to accomplish. John 5 verse 36 records, "For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I'm doing, testify that the Father has sent me." He is our example as the first Spirit-filled Son to walk the earth after Adam, the last Adam, through whom all of God's sons would be restored as His spiritual brethren. He would become our life-giving Spirit through whom we would be born again in the Spirit. Our salvation from living our lives separated from the Father and His intended purpose for us. And this concludes part 6 of this module. We will be continuing with part 7 next week. And I trust that today has been a great blessing to you. Once again, I want to encourage you to re-study the material. Allow it to become a living part of who you are. Allow the Holy Spirit to deposit fresh seed into your heart, Even if you don't understand it all, just receive it. And in due course, you will find that the seed that you've received will blossom. It will spring up in you. It will grow. And as it grows, you will become the revelation that you've received. May the Lord bless you in this week, and may it be a fruitful and a wonderful time of union with God. God bless you. Amen.